Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. This is a special Christmas edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Christmas in the sense that I'm going to be answering questions that deal specifically with the Christian Christmas narrative. As always, the resources that I talk about on the broadcast, you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I want to start with a question today, a question that I think is very, very important because it's a question asked over and over again during the Christmas holidays. How could someone like Daniel, who is writing 6 centuries before the time of Christ, have predicted exactly what was going to happen hundreds of years later? Or perhaps we might ask, why are messianic prophecies a golden key that ends up unlocking the hearts of even hardened skeptics? I ask that question in light of the words that we find in Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over David's kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This, of course, is a prophecy made by the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Prophecy, I think, is so important for us because what it does is represent one of the most powerful proofs of the divine origins of the biblical text. And the book of Daniel is a classic case in point. Sometimes we forget that he was writing in the midst of the 6th century Babylonian captivity. And at that time, Yahweh, the God of Israel, reveals through Daniel his present and, I would say, his eternal purposes for Israel and, of course, for the world. So Daniel ends up accurately predicting a progression of kingdoms from Babylon through the Median and Persian empires to the further persecution and suffering of the Jews under Antiochus IV Epiphanes, including the Syrian despot's desecration of the Jerusalem temple and his untimely death, and freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus way back in 165 BC. What's interesting about this is something that is remembered in Jewish congregations around the world every single year. It is one of those epic events in human history, an epic event that involves an Old Testament Antichrist. And so the book of Daniel prophetically looks forward to the coming of Messiah. Now, Jewish congregations are not looking forward to the coming of Messiah as happened 2,000 years ago. They don't believe Messiah has yet come. And so one of my Jewish friends said to me one day, "The difference between you and me is you believe that Messiah has already come. I believe that Messiah is still coming." Well, I believe Messiah is still coming as well, except when he comes, he will come again, or as Hebrew puts it, he will appear again. But think about what Jeremiah prophesied. Jerusalem, said Jeremiah, would experience a partial restoration after 70 years of exile. However, as revealed through the angel Gabriel, the return from exile was merely a type of the antitypical freedom that would be experienced through Judas Maccabeus, which itself was typological as something. That something is the ultimate restoration that comes through Jesus, the Messiah. And we have to look at the singular fact that Jesus ends up being the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And therefore, it should never surprise us that when we read the scripture, prophecies regarding Jesus outnumber all other prophecies. And many of these prophecies would have been impossible for Jesus to deliberately conspire to fulfill. How could he do that with respect to his descent from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or his birth in Bethlehem? Or, think about this, his crucifixion with criminals as foretold by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53. The piercing of his hands and his feet on the cross, or the soldiers gambling for his clothes, the piercing of his side, and the fact that his bones were not broken at his death. And maybe the capstone is, ironically, his burial among the rich. And perhaps the most beloved of all the Old Testament prophecies is encapsulated in the words of Isaiah, who 8 centuries before the birth of Christ, think about that, 8 centuries before the birth of Christ, wrote these immortal words. We all know them. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." In other words, the possessor of eternity. And the moniker Prince of Peace. Only Messiah, born of a virgin, could match the meaning of these kind of majestic monikers. And not only that, but the Christ who walked through the doorway of Isaiah's messianic prophecy made the ultimate prediction: "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. And then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Over the years, I have discovered time and time again that messianic prophecy is the golden key that unlocks the hearts of even hard-boiled skeptics. How is it possible that the Old Testament prophets were able to predict the coming of Christ with such meticulous precision? His ancestry, you can't fake that. His birthplace, remember Micah said that it would be Bethlehem Ephrata, and only Bethlehem Ephrata would do. Of all the towns and hamlets in the world, only one could be the fulfillment of the words of the Old Testament prophets. Or think about the details surrounding his death. He was to be crucified. Now, crucifixion was not invented by the Romans. It was invented long before the Romans by the Persians. It was only popularized by the Romans. And yet the details of his crucifixion were given to us in such meticulous fashion that only Jesus and the death of Jesus on the cross could be their fulfillment. Or we think about the date of his visitation, given within historically narrow time parameters. Again, only Jesus Christ could emerge through that doorway. And then he was said to be a worker of miracles. He was one who would do extraordinary miracles. Now, oftentimes we talk about miracles in sort of a euphemistic way. A child is born, we say it's a miracle. But we're talking about the miracle of miracles. We're talking about miracles where Jesus lays down his life and takes it up again, thus demonstrating that he is God. And of course, he healed so many. Remember Lazarus? Lazarus had been dead for 4 days when Jesus healed him. Well, not only would he be a worker of extraordinary miracles, but he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He didn't come to abolish them. He came as the fulfillment of them. His words, I tell you the truth, I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them until heaven and earth disappear. Not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything has been fulfilled. So Jesus Christ fulfills that which only God can fulfill. And I think one of the most beautiful of all of the prophecies in the Old fulfilled in the New is that Jesus Christ would not merely be a parochial Jewish Messiah. No, he was going to be far more than that. He was going to be Messiah to the Gentiles as well, so the light of Christ could go out to the kingdoms of the world. And we have found ourselves in an epic moment of time. A moment of time in which we too can say, I am a co-consummator of the kingdom of Christ. What Jesus Christ began as a mustard seed must fill the earth, and I'm part of that fulfillment. So I think as we ponder the question, how could it be that Old Testament prophets could foretell what would happen with the birth of Jesus Christ? We must also ponder the attendant question, how could it be that what began with the coming of Christ is now being fulfilled and fulfilled through me? At least it ought to be fulfilled through you, because all of us have a stake in the kingdom. All of us have been called to be, as I just mentioned, co-consummators of the kingdom, and therefore we must let our light so shine before men that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. Well, this is one of those issues that I'm so excited about, messianic prophecy. I've written about this in many different places, including The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I've written about this as well in my book, Has God Spoken? Many of these resources, in fact, all of them, can be found on the web at equip.org. As mentioned at the beginning of the show, you can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can pick up the telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. You've tuned into a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we consider questions that come up each and every year during the Christmas season. When I come back from the break, I'm going to answer the question, did Dr. Luke make a colossal historical blunder that discredits Scripture when he said that Augustus Caesar issued a decree that a census should be taken and that that decree would take place when Jesus Christ was born? Skeptics on the web, skeptics on television and radio, they're telling us he made a colossal blunder. We're going to answer that objection when we come back in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? In these his first recorded words, the Lord Jesus discloses to us the essence of his nature and his purpose. Stu Epperson Jr. helps us to understand and celebrate the matchless gift of the Incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us, in the new book, First Words of Jesus, From Cradle to Cross. To receive your copy of First Words of Jesus as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Something is changing in our cultural portrayal of superheroes. In highly successful films such as Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, and Suicide Squad, and in popular TV shows such as Lucifer and The Preacher, morally compromised superheroes are willing to lie, steal, and even murder bad guys. How should we respond to the rise of the anti-hero? Other topics include mythicism and the public Jesus of history, logical and biblical defeaters of reincarnation and karma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Eminent historian Christopher Dawson observed that the great religions are the foundations on which the great civilizations rest. A society that has lost its religion sooner or later becomes a society that has lost its culture. For us, this means that the 2,000 years of Western civilization, undergirded by the Judeo-Christian worldview, the only true worldview, cannot be abandoned without a fight. Join the battle and help equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you a copy of The Heavens Proclaim His Glory, a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble Telescope. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is entirely supported by people like you who share our mission to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. Your tax-deductible gift today will help CRI end the year strong and prepared for even greater ministry in 2017. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And a quick program note, I'm going to be speaking at the church in Cerritos in Southern California this Sunday. For directions and details, just go to the web at equip.org. And you have tuned into a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm answering questions that are raised over and over again this time of the year. Sometimes the questions are raised on television or on radio or on the internet. Sometimes these questions are raised by family members or friends. And as we say so often on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we are called to be ready always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us. And we are called to do that with gentleness and with respect. The whole idea is not to win the argument. It is to reach a person who without Jesus Christ has a vacuum that will never be filled. Do remember, as we continue with the broadcast, that our work of equipping and encouraging fellow believers to stand for life and truth simply could not continue without the faithful support of listeners just like you. Support team members undergird. They strengthen every one of CRI's 24/7 outreaches. It is support team members and those who give to this ministry, pray for this ministry, that equip fellow believers not only at home but around the globe. So much work needs to be done. To become a member of CRI's support team, to help change our world, simply go to equip.org or call 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. This is the month that typically is the make it or break it month for our ministry. We're either trying to catch up or we're trying to establish resources to exploit opportunities in ministry around the world. Whatever you can do would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And you can also download CRI's Equip app. Just go to equip.org/app. Not only can you give there in a safe, secure fashion, but you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live. You can also listen to archived editions. You can, as well, read hundreds of well-researched and relevant articles. And you can use the app again to conveniently support the ministry. Well, before the break, I was mentioning a question that comes up over and over again this time of the year. It's actually a question that is motivated by something that Dr. Luke said in Luke chapter 2. And Luke is considered to be a meticulous historian. And therefore, this question calls into question a larger question. How reliable is not only Dr. Luke, but how reliable is the Bible at all? The words of Dr. Luke in chapter 2 have to do with those days in which Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And according to Luke, everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and at the time was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, on NBC, there was a special called The Birth of Jesus. And on that special, a man named Dr. John Dominic Crossan, who happens to be co-founder of the wildly popular Jesus Seminar, called into question the historical veracity of the Bible by saying Luke tells us the story that at the time Jesus was born, Augustus had decreed a census of the whole earth. And then he said this, "Now, every scholar is going to tell you that there was no such census ever." The question we have to ask at this point is he correct or is the canon correct? If he's correct, the canon is corrupt. So did Dr. Luke make a colossal historical blunder that effectively discredits sacred scripture? In an age in which the historical reliability of the Bible is being questioned, it is ever more crucial that Christians are equipped to demonstrate that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. So, how do we respond to critics like John Dominic Crossan? Is his pontification on NBC a defensible argument, or is it merely a dogmatic assertion? Well, it turns out to be the latter. It's a dogmatic assertion. While Crossan made his pontification with typical bravado, it's patently false. Caesar Augustus was famous for census taking. So famous, in fact, that this issue is no longer even debated among credible historians. The Jewish historian Josephus actually refers to a Roman taxation in AD 6, and considering the scope of the taxation, it is logical to assume that it took a very long time to complete. Undoubtedly, it began with Caesar Augustus around 5 BC and was likely completed a decade later. But there's more. Luke, ever the meticulous historian, notes that the census took place when Quirinius served as governor of Syria. An ancient historian, Dr. Paul Meyer, co-author of one of my books, an esteemed professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University, noted once on the Bible Answer Man broadcast that Romans took 40 years to get a census done in Gaul. And therefore, for a province 1,500 miles away from Rome to take a decade is eminently reasonable. Not only that, but since the census came in under the administration of Quirinius, it would correctly be labeled as his census. And not only that, but given Luke's impeccable credentials as a historian, it would have been far more circumspect for someone like John Dominic Crossan to temper his dogmatism, and those who follow in his train should do so as well. These are issues that are not trivial. These are critical issues. If Luke is wrong, the Bible is wrong. And if the Bible is wrong here, how can we trust the Bible as a reliable authority? We need to remember the experience of a brilliant archaeologist. His name was Sir William Ramsay. He was very much like Crossan in his own day. He was bent on undermining Luke's historical reliability. And therefore, through his painstaking Mediterranean archaeological adventures, he was expecting, well, to underscore his own biases. But something else happened. He discovered that one after the other, the historical allusions that Dr. Luke provides were accurate. If, as Ramsay points out, Luke does not err in referencing a plethora of countries and cities and islands and all the details that surround them, then there's no reason to doubt him concerning the census either. So on this sacred occasion, an occasion where we are looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ by way of celebration, why not make a commitment that we ask you to make each and every year, not just once, but throughout the year? Always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And remember, even if you don't have an answer ready at your fingertip, you can always research and return, and a great place to do that is on the web at equip.org. That's why we pray, and we do pray about this earnestly. May God use your well-reasoned answers this Christmas season as an opportunity to share the grace, the truth, the light that only the Christ of Christmas can bring to the human heart. Well, when we come back from the break, I'm going to broach another question. That question, what child is this? Think about the fact that the Christ we worship was sinless. He was supernatural. And in a way that no other human being could be, he was transformational. We use the word Jesus over and over, and some even use it as a swear word. And I think sometimes we may well have forgotten the majesty inculcated in that beautiful word, Jesus. Jesus. It is the name that binds the brokenhearted, that heals the sick, and that is for certain the truth that will lead us into life everlasting. When we come back from the break, I'll also give you the quote of the day, as always, and do remember the resources that I talk about on the show you can find on the web, equip.org, including The Heart of Christmas. I broached the questions that I'm asking on the broadcast today in this book as you prepare your heart for celebrating the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The quote of the day, one more very salient question, so stay tuned.
If someone were to ask you what is the true essence of Christmas, would you be able to provide a well-informed response? In the new book, First Words of Jesus, From Cradle to Cross, Stu Epperson Jr. shows how the story of Christmas is really the story of the victory of the cross and resurrection, To receive your copy of First Words of Jesus as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although the vast majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling the issue is a matter of historical evidence, and beyond question, the existence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Other topics include the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the rise of the comic book anti-hero, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Russell Kirk has captured our modern plight, stating, "A good many people fret themselves over the rather improbable speculation that the Earth may be blown asunder by nuclear weapons. The grimmer and more immediate prospect is that men and women may be reduced to a subhuman state through limitless indulgence in their own vices, with ruinous consequences to society. But despite the darkness, the good news is that believers can help others and themselves become winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. As thanks for your gift and support of CRI's life-changing work, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Stu Epperson's First Words of Jesus, which poignantly connects the story of Christmas with the victory of the cross and resurrection. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Despite the growing spiritual and moral darkness and ominous cultural storm clouds on the horizon, dedicated followers of the Lord Jesus are making a genuine difference. Through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and a website bursting with both scholarly and practical resources, your generous support has enabled the Christian Research Institute to equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. Because so much remains at stake in the lives of so many, please prayerfully consider a special Christmas or year-end gift today in support of CRI's life-changing outreaches, and call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and you've tuned into a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I thought I'd do a deep dive into some of the questions that people ask this time of year. In just a few moments, I'm going to answer the question, "What child is this?" A very significant question, as you'll see. Again, we'll broach that in just a few moments, but I want to start, as always, with the quote of the day in this segment. It comes from Charles Wesley. He was an ingenious English poet, maybe the greatest hymn writer of all time, having composed literally thousands of hymns. Brother, of course, of John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. And he said this, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. Born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise to us thy glorious throne." Those words, poetic, are familiar to many of you. Why? Because each Christmas season we sing those words, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus." Well, I want to broach a question that I think is one of the most significant questions we could ever ask. That question, simply four words: what child is this? It was a question raised by William Dix. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing, haste, haste, to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear, for sinners here the silent word is pleading. Nails, spear shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant, king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise the song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary. What child is this? Well, when John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or are we to expect someone else?" But Jesus answered emphatically, without equivocation, "Go back, tell John what you hear and see. The blind are receiving their sight. The lame are walking. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Those epic words from Matthew chapter 11. So it's one thing to say that the child born in Bethlehem was God incarnate. It is, of course, quite another to establish that claim beyond a reasonable doubt. To do that, we must demonstrate Jesus to be the sinless, supernatural Savior of humanity. Can we do that? The answer is absolutely. Christ. He is the only human who ever demonstrated the credential of sinlessness. There were no others. And while the Quran exhorts Muhammad to seek forgiveness for his sins or his faults, the Bible exonerates Messiah, saying, Jesus, these words are incredible, Jesus had no sin. And that is not a singular statement, for John declares, and in him is no sin. Peter elaborates, saying Jesus committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. And Jesus himself went so far as to challenge his antagonist, saying, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? But Jesus not only manifests the credential of sinlessness, Jesus demonstrated supernatural authority over sickness, over the forces of nature, over fallen angels, and even over death. In fact, in Matthew 4, we have a record that says that Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching, preaching, healing every disease and sickness among the people. And in Mark 4, we have documentation of Jesus rebuking the winds and the waves, saying, quiet, be still. And then Luke 4 has Jesus encountering a man who is possessed by an evil spirit, and he commands the demon, come out of him. John 4, by the way, note the fours. I'm doing that because I like to make things memorable. But in John 4, Jesus tells the royal official whose son was close to death, your son will live. In fact, the four gospel writers all record that Jesus demonstrated ultimate power over death through the immutable fact of his resurrection. What child is this? Well, he's sinless, and he has supernatural authority over disease, and he is even able to raise the dead. And yet, we have but scratched the surface of divinity. For the credentials of Jesus' deity are seen not only in his supernatural authority over death and his sinlessness, but they are seen in the lives of countless men, women, and children. For every day, people of every tongue and tribe and nation experience the Christ of Christmas by repenting of their sins and receiving him as Lord and Savior of their lives. And of course, Christ not only came to save us by his death, and certainly he did that, but when Jesus came in incarnation, he saved us into his life. This is why the great fathers talked about the great exchange. Christ became man so that we could become, as Peter put it, partakers of the divine nature. Did you get that? You are a son of God. You have been given the prerogatives of grace to experience God, to genuinely experience life that is uncreated. And thus, this Christmas season, as you think about the incarnation of Christ, think about the fact that he came to give you life. As Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Only in Christ do we have life that is life indeed. Only in Christ can we go beyond bios and experience Zoe, the uncreated energies of God. For only God is uncreated, and only in him can we truly live and move and have our being. So every single Christmas season we think about they who not only come to know about Christ evidentially, but they who experience Christ as more real than the very flesh upon their bones. So back to the original question, what child is this? None other than the sinless, the supernatural Savior who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And on the third day, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. So the Christ who came in incarnation is Lord of lords. He's King of kings. He is forever enthroned in majesty, and we will encounter him. Not just some of us, but all of us will encounter him. For Jesus said, "Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, and dare I say it, some will rise to be eternally condemned." God has left us here to bring a message to the world. And once again, I ask people to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, not because the organization needs it, but because in giving to us, you give through us and touch the lives of people, not only for time, but also for eternity. Thank you. This Christmas season, as you stand with us, shoulder to shoulder, the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Eminent historian Christopher Dawson observed that the great religions are the foundations on which the great civilizations rest. A society that has lost its religion sooner or later becomes a society that has lost its culture. For us, this means that the 2,000 years of Western civilization, undergirded by the Judeo-Christian worldview, the only true worldview, cannot be abandoned without a fight. Join the battle and help equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you a copy of The Heavens Proclaim His Glory, a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble Telescope. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world.
In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.